Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ into this world, that we would know that you have not abandoned your creation, that you are present, and that you will save it. We thank you for sending Jesus to show us the way to live our lives in faith and in hope. And we thank you that Jesus, in turn, asked you to send the Spirit into our midst. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be present here as we listen to your word. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. The gospel lesson this morning was the well-known story of Jesus taking bread, breaking it, and passing it around to thousands of people, taking just a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and in the end, there were basketfuls of food left over. But if Jesus could do this, I've always wondered, why do it so rarely? Why limit it to just this time and place? It is a sign, and the obvious meaning of the one way of taking this is that it's a sign that Jesus can do incredible things, that he's powerful. But as God, as Jesus is God the Son, Jesus is giving us a sign that God is the one who provides for all of our needs out of God's abundance. God doesn't behave according to our capitalistic laws of supply and demand. But out of the abundance of love and joy that God has, God freely gives. But as a human, as Jesus, the Son of Man, Jesus is giving us a sign of how to deal with life when our needs are not met. But first, let's think about hunger for a minute. On the one hand, I mean, this is fairly obvious. We all know, to some degree, what it feels like to be hungry. I'm wondering if you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Did you have to study this in school? I did. And at the very bottom, perhaps you'll remember, is of this pyramid shape. The base, the widest, the first need is basic physiological needs. We need food and water. But once that need is by and large met, once you have a sense that you will be able to find those with some regularity and certainty, another need presents itself, another hunger, as it were, a hunger for safety and security. And after that, another hunger presents itself, another need, belonging and love. And after that, esteem. And then the need to be challenged and to learn and to understand. And then the need to take delight in beauty and goodness around you. And then the need to make the most of your life. And beyond that, the need to feel connected to something much larger than yourself. Maslow commented, "What happens to people's desire when there is plenty of bread and his belly is chronically filled? At once, other and higher needs emerge, and these, rather than physical hungers, dominate the organism. And when these in turn are satisfied, again new and still so-called higher needs emerge, and so on." This is what we mean by saying that the basic human needs are organized into a hierarchy. But notice a few things. To be human, then, is to be hungry. And that's not just a 20th century observation. If you go right to the very beginning of the Bible, almost the first words that are said by God to humanity, to us, are, "I give all of this to you for your nourishment, for food." It's right there in chapter 1 of Genesis. But as Maslow observes, hunger doesn't just end with food and drink, being certain of having those things. It goes on and on and on. To be human is to be hungry and in need. In Canada, at this time and place, we are arguably as close as humanity will ever come or has ever come to living with access to every resource we might want or need. Our hunger should be filled. But everyone agrees, from pop singers to the movies and to our own experience, from what we hear in the news, that it doesn't seem to be enough. Anxiety among our young people is at a higher rate than anyone can understand. Depression is widespread. Loneliness and emptiness, we don't have to take more than a few steps beyond our own lives to encounter these things. That is if we haven't or aren't experiencing those things ourselves. Jesus came to feed us in every one of these ways. In Jesus, our hunger is filled and our needs are met. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced that even though you cannot necessarily count on the love of others, that there is a God who is present who loves you dearly? Have you experienced or heard that you are well made? That God made you to be who you are and made you well? Have you heard the good news that God has a purpose for your life, that it is not pointless? Have you experienced God's healing? Have you experienced God providing when you've, in response to prayer? Have you experienced the joy of being given a new church family, a community with whom to share life, its joys and its sorrows? Jesus came to see that our needs are met. And yet at the same time, it is also true that Jesus does not feed us or meet our needs. If we had continued to read on the story from John chapter 6, the day after the people had received all of that bread out of nowhere, they immediately went searching for Jesus once again. They said, "Hang on a minute. If you can do this, if you can just provide for us, well, you can solve so many of the world's problems, if not all of them. There would be no more famine. There would be no more war or suffering. Well, it would be so easy to be generous with one another if we knew there was this unlimited supply of our needs every day coming our way. We want you to be king. We want you to reorder how we operate as a community. We want you to reorder our empire out of all of this food that's coming." And Jesus, in his response in chapter 6, if anything, increases their expectations. He said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We know this story doesn't end well for the crowds. But Jesus confronts humanity with two temptations. The first one, well, if God can provide so much, then clearly if we are right with God, if we ask God in the right spirit, it will be provided. This is what we call the health and wealth gospel, or psychological positivism. If you just have the right attitude and the right spirit and believe it, it will happen. Or name it and claim it. Similarly, we have a religious image of this. The guru, the spiritual guru who is at peace with the world and with everyone around them. They are wise, they are good, they are generous. This is the temptation, that one who is right with God will not lack or hunger. But there is an opposite temptation, and that is when we do lack food or money or love or success, when things don't go well for one reason or another, then clearly something is wrong, either with us or our relationship with God. But all of that is nonsense, of course. We are reading this passage in Lent on our way to Good Friday, when Jesus, the sinless human, the Son of God, was allowed to suffer and then die. Is there anyone greater than Jesus? If there isn't, then suffering must have no connection to one's righteousness. Could anyone say that Jesus is not right with God? And yet all of this has been allowed to happen to Jesus. All the people who ate with Jesus were hungry again. And what's more, every last one of those people who ate with Jesus died. But why won't the Father let Jesus just solve everything? Why does it seem to be that the Father believes that the best way forward is to continue to allow hunger and suffering? Remember Gethsemane. Even Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, sat in prayer with tears, crying for God to provide some other way. Jesus reacted as any person would. And yet, there was no answer. And Jesus was led away to be tortured and to die. Jesus' answer was, on the night that he prayed, his answer was that in hunger, in suffering, in my loneliness, and even on the eve of my death, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Remember Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. The devil came to tempt him. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, one doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Worship the Lord God and serve only God. And so when the people came to Jesus and said, you can solve all of our problems, be our king, Jesus said, I haven't come to do my own will. I have come to fulfill the will of the one who sent me. If I have abundance, it is because that is God's will. If I have a lack, after prayer, then I will continue to trust God and serve the Father. Bread will not always come when we need it. When we suffer from hunger in some way or another, some longing is eating away at our hearts, that need might not get met. When the disciples heard Jesus explaining this to the crowds, they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? And I'm with them. In fact, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed with him. So Jesus turned to the 12 who remained. What about you? Don't you wish to go away? And Simon Peter answered him, well, we don't know what to do. Where could we go? Because you have the words of life. A few things. One, as Jesus stood there in the crowd of people, we see that Jesus came into the world to be a connecting point between God and all of the eating and community living that goes on here on earth. When we eat, we remember Jesus, who took the bread that was a gift from God and gave thanks. God is the one who provides food for every living creature on earth. And it's not just food, but every good gift that you experience, every trivial good to every overwhelming good, is a sign of God's provision, of God's presence and goodness and care. And when we receive those, like Jesus, we say, thank you, God. We take those moments to let gratitude fill our hearts, and we lift our hearts up to God in thanks. Secondly, every year we go through Lent to remember, to reflect, and indeed to practice in some way that in this life we will continue to experience hunger of one sort or another. We will find ourselves in a wilderness at one time or another. We cannot solve all the problems of this world, and we will all die. But God, we trust, in imitation of Jesus Christ, God the Father has a good purpose for choosing to allow this sort of an experience of life, with this mix of days of feeling fulfilled and days of feeling empty, days of feeling full of joy and days of sorrow, days of having what we need and days of hunger. We imitate Jesus and we trust God. As a church, there has been many times over the past years, many years that I've been here, where we've wondered why we are in the wilderness. Why do we continue to decline in numbers? At the very least, this is a chance for us to imitate Jesus, to trust God in prayer, to wait on God, and to continue to do what the Father presents us with. Third, we can come to Jesus. Jesus' words are life. Jesus does feed us with bread from heaven. And so, whatever means you can think of to draw nearer to Jesus Christ in relationship, do that. Wait in silence in your prayer. Wait for God to speak to you in that moment. Listen for God's voice. Read your Bible and wait until the words become like life, like food to your soul. But what does all of this have to do with the epistle lesson that said that we are free? Well, in drawing near to Jesus, we are set free from the fear of want. We know it will come, but it does not need to have a hold on us. We know we will be hungry, but that is not a sign that God has abandoned us. God is with us in that moment. And when we face our death, we are free to face it with courage and peace and hope. We are free when we are in Jesus Christ because we know Jesus. And we learned that, as Paul learned, that to be, let me try that again. To know Jesus is to learn as Paul did, to be content with what we have. As he writes in his letter to the Philippian church, I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. But finally, I encourage you to think, to reflect on your own life. Can you name the ways that Jesus has fed you at some point in your life? Can you think of some point when God came into your life and was there and sustained you and fed you when you were in need? Can you think of what it has meant in your life to be saved? You have been handed bread. And not just enough bread for yourself, but bread for someone else in this world. I encourage you to be able to name those ways that you have been fed, the ways that God has been real in your life, to think of that as bread that you could give to someone else in your life with the same need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know the needs that are present. We pray that each person would find in you a present and loving Father who sustains us and provides for us. That they would find in this church community people who are hospitable and generous, willing to share the joys and sorrows of life. We pray that your words would continue to sustain us and give us life, so that we might go from here and share what you have given to us with those who need to hear you the good news. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.